This is a session really that's to do with experiencing God and meeting God, and this is the practical, this is how to. You've heard who the Holy Spirit is. You've heard some of what the Holy Spirit does. You know, he gives you an incredible life actually with God, the way life is meant to be lived with God. Sense of adventure, strength for your weaknesses and for hard times, and comfort and counsel. And courage to share about Jesus as well. Courage to really be a Christian, a real one. A real play-the-game Christian. Which, you know what? You need courage to do, because, you know, Christians aren't popular. Have you noticed? That light doesn't always mix with darkness. It collides with it often. And it's not an easy life to be a Christian in some ways. You know, if you want everyone to love you and pat you on the back, and be, then really you don't want to be following Jesus. But when you follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives you the courage and the joy just to be free, to be yourself, and to be free from what other people think, which is a very great boldness and freedom, actually, that not many people in life have. I love that story of the lad who was holding back from really committing himself to being a Christian, holding back from receiving the Holy Spirit, because he was scared about what his family and friends would think. None of his family were Christians, none of his friends were Christians. So he went and spoke to this old guy, he'd been a Christian for years in the church, an old wise old bird, and he said to him, you know, this is my concern, you know, none of my family and friends are Christians. I don't want to tell them. He said, but I know if you're a Christian, you're meant to tell people. And he said, oh no, you're all right, you don't need to. He said, you serious? He said, yeah, I'm serious. He said, well, can that be right? You know, I thought we meant to tell people about Jesus, and so do I not have to tell people about Jesus? He said, it is right. It's right for you. He was a wise old bird. He said, so I can give my life to Jesus and not worry about that? He said, absolutely. And I can be filled with the Holy Spirit and not worry about that? He said, absolutely. You don't have to tell anyone about Jesus. And this lad just felt all the weight off his shoulders, and he thought, awesome, awesome. So he went home. Went upstairs, got on his knees in his bedroom, and really committed his life to Jesus, gave his life to the Lord, and was absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with love, filled with joy, filled with power. And then he runs downstairs, goes into the back kitchen where some of his mates and family were. He opens the door and says, listen, do you realise you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus and not have to tell anyone? You know what? That's the truth. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you just have a freedom. You're not bothered about what other people think. And actually, even though people struggle with it, they're also very attracted to it. Because there's something about someone who's free and bold and who knows God that, even though it's threatening, is also very attractive. Because Jesus is actually attractive. And Jesus had that effect on people, didn't he? In his own life. He met with both. People either loved him or hated him, or both sometimes, both at the same time. The first time Jesus preached at his hometown in a synagogue that they've actually dug up, you know, I've been in this synagogue. Incredible experience, because they build synagogues on top of synagogues. And in Israel, they've found the one that they think is from that time when Jesus was in Nazareth. Incredible. And you can go in there. Jesus stood up to preach the first time there. And you know what the people said? They said, wow, what amazing words have come from his lips. Gracious words come from his lips. And then they got nagged at him. But isn't this Jesus? Don't we know his mother and his brothers and his sisters? And then they got nagged at him and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Oh, what a marvellous sermon. Let's kill him. And that's what it's like with Christianity sometimes. So enjoy. Anyway, but we love him, we hate him. We love him, we hate him. It's just the truth. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Bible records, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what looked like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. And then, you know, what Jesus promised had happened. He said, wait, I'll send you the Spirit. They were waiting, they were praying. 10 days after Jesus ascended back into heaven, 9 o'clock in the morning. Isn't the Bible great? Just tells you these little details that just make it like fascinating and hilarious. 9 o'clock in the morning. They all got together on a little cup of tea. I don't know what they're doing in Jerusalem at that time. Nice pot of tea, if they're English. And they're all together and chitting about 120 people. Jesus' mother was there. Lots of women. Jesus had lots of women, close friends and followers. The 12 apostles, some of the disciples, males and lots of females. 120. All in the upper room, chatting. Suddenly, something happened. This sound from heaven. Violent wind. You know, there's no trees moving, but there's a mighty wind blowing. And they're looking round and they don't know what it is. All the rest, you had too much pie, didn't you? I'm going to send you out if you don't stop. Is it wind? Is it the pie and wind? Is that what it is? Just tell us now and get it out and then it... Okay. Yeah. I hope it is. But anyway. And there's this wind and then there's this fire that appears. I mean, this is very supernatural, isn't it? This fire appears. I mean, they see it. And the fire rests on each one of them. It's the Spirit of God. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all speak in tongues. Which is very often what happens when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Very often, he gives the gift of tongues as one of the main gifts. You know, the Holy Spirit has different gifts that he gives. Healing, prophecy, tongues, wisdom, knowledge, revelation. The Holy Spirit does these things and gives these gifts. Gifts for everyone. He has gifts for everyone. Today, he has gifts for you. If you're in this room, God's very generous and has specific supernatural gifts just for you. We have 9 kids, and Christmas is a challenge. And do you know what? At Christmas, we don't do this. We don't get all the kids a cuddly Donald Duck. Because not all the kids like cuddly Donald Ducks. I have a 4-year-old, do I? Somewhere around there, who likes a cuddly Donald Duck. But my 19-year-old son wouldn't appreciate that. You know, as parents, you have to think about what the gifts you give, don't you? You don't give random gifts. Oh, there's a bag, take what you like. You don't do that. No one would do that. And you don't give everyone the same. Neither does God. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he comes with specific tools and gifts for us. Gifts for us. That are tailor-made for us. That will be to do with what God wants us to do with our life. And that's what he's got for you today. To be open to receive him and his gifts. You know, and the other thing about Christmas and kids and gifts is this. The Holy often kids just get what they want. If they specifically ask us, you know, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this in the catalogue. Oh, he really wants that, so I know we've got him that, but we'll get him that as well. Or, you know... Or let's break that into 5 pieces and make it look like that. No. But do you know what? You give them what they ask for and what that would is appropriate for them and what they need. That's true. God is a good father. Jesus said he's a good dad. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Jesus said, how many of you, if your son asks you for an egg, a bread, would give him a rock? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion. Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent. He said, you wouldn't do that. How many of you fathers? And he said, you, even though you're evil, because Jesus was a diplomat, even though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit and give good gifts, he says, to those who ask him? So here's what to be doing right now while I'm speaking. Start asking. Start asking God now for what you'd need and what you'd like. What you need, probably first, then what you'd like. What would you like? What do you need? Do you want to speak for God? Would you like to speak for God? Listen, God's looking for people to speak for him. You're allowed to ask for that. Would you like the gift of prophecy? To be able to bring specific words from God for other people? To be able to speak the word of God into people's lives that can transform them, change their lives. You can have that if you want. Ask for it. Would you like the gift of tongues? The gift of tongues is amazing. The gift of tongues is described in the New Testament quite a lot. And it's a prayer language that's where you're not bound just to your own language, to English, or even the three languages that you know, but you can pray to God from your spirit to the Holy Spirit. Women, it's awesome if you're in labour, or if you're struggling, or if you're in pain, or if you just don't know what to pray. You can pray in tongues, in this language that the Holy Spirit gives you. It's an awesome thing to be able to pray in tongues. The older I get, the more important I think tongues is. And when you pray in tongues, the Bible says you build yourself up. It's like your spirit and your soul expand. Paul said, talks about speaking in the language of angels. So tongues can be various languages of languages on earth. Or the language of angels, just something incredibly supernatural as well. When I pray in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. But maybe someone from another nation would. But God does. And that's what it's about, actually. It's about praying in faith, speaking in faith, and entering into the world of Christianity, which is actually very supernatural. It is. And tongues is often the first step into that. So be open to that. If you'd like a prayer language, so that you pray what's on God's heart, and you have strength and grace in times of struggle and stress, then the gift of tongues is for you. Or healing. How many have seen anyone healed or would like to see people healed, supernaturally healed? It's a phenomenal thing. Hey, if you'd like the gift of healing, it's a gift. Comes with the Holy Spirit. If you ask, ask. We were in a meeting the other day in Darlington, and this woman comes forward who's been in agony since 1993. It's a long time, isn't it? I went home and told my family later. I've got a daughter who's 16. She said, "That's all my life." I said, "Yeah, Anna, that's all your life." She comes forward on sticks like that, with a husband helping her, since 1993. There was a line of people stood up for prayer. She couldn't stand up. She was in so much pain. She sat on the front pew. It was an old Baptist church. And there was a load of people wanting prayer, but I went straight to her because I could see she was in pain. And I said to her, "What?" I said, "Do you want to stand up and we'll pray for you?" And she went, I said, "Do you want to stay sat down?"
She said, "Yes, please."
I said, "What would you like? What is it? What's your problem?" She said, "Arthritis." She said, "I'm in agony. You know, I've been in agony since didn't tell me then." She said, "I'm in agony." I said, "Where are you in agony?" She said, "In my hands, in my back, in my legs." I think she meant everywhere. I said, "Well, let's pray and ask God to heal you." I put my hands on her and said, "In the name of Jesus, I command this arthritis to leave this woman." I'm telling you the truth, this doesn't happen all the time. But right then and right there, she was healed. 16 years. I was going to keep praying, but she like looked up at me like that. And I went, "Is the pain left anywhere?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Where's it left?" She said, "My hands." And I remembered her back and her legs. I said, "Has it left anywhere else?" And she said, "My heart." Bless her. I thought, this woman's been ill. I said, "Do you think you can stand up?" And she came up like that. She sat down like that. And I said to her, "Do you think you can stand up?" She went, "Oh!" And her husband ran forward. He was crying. And the daughter was on the back row. She ran forward. She was crying. Is this awesome? It's awesome, isn't it? Awesome. Totally healed, totally healed. She didn't know what to do with herself. She'd been in pain since 1993. And then I was trying to figure out what had happened, you know. She said, "Thank you." Give me a big hug. She said, "Don't thank me." I said, "I'm as amazed as you." I said, "It's Jesus, not me." It is, isn't it? It's Jesus, not us. No big shots in the kingdom of God, only Jesus. There's only one big shot. He's called Jesus. He's here today. He's got gifts for you. This is one of them, if you like it. The gift of healing. Who'd like to lay hands on people and see them recover? Or even lay hands on people and just see them healed. Then we found out later from her, when she could talk a bit, how she'd been in pain since 1993. My wife was there, Margaret. She said, "What would you be doing now?" She said, "Now." She said, "I'd be lying on the settee in agony. My hands would be all swollen." She said, "Look at my hands, look at my hands. They're not swollen." It's phenomenal, isn't it? That was a fortnight ago. I had an email from the pastor of the church yesterday. He said, "Martin, just want to say thanks for the weekend. And just to let you know, this woman is still totally healed. Never used a stick since. Totally healed." Isn't that brilliant? It's awesome, isn't it? Who would like the gift of healing? Hey, it's up for grabs. Jesus said, "Ask and you will receive." You know what? You can have them all. You be greedy, Debbie. You should be. Greedy. If she can have two pairs, you can have... No. It's right. Do you know what? You know what? That... Oh, good lass, yeah. Oh, sorry, I won't mention the pies again. So, Debbie, when you've laid off the puddings, no. You know what? You can have... Of course you can have them all. And actually, we pray for them all the time. When you get the Holy Spirit's got them all. So sometimes, really, it's like a utility belt where you're just reaching for what you need at the time. What do you need? Knowledge, wisdom, faith. But you can be specific as well and ask for these gifts. Gifts that God's got for you. Some of the gifts are for you, really, because they're to do with what you're going to do for God. Preaching, me. No one taught me to preach. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It isn't, I never went to seminary or anything like that. I went to Bible college, but not learn how to preach. I could preach as soon as I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I couldn't before. Before, my family just laughed at me and didn't want to know about God. After I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd just be talking at the dinner table and I'd look up and notice no one else was eating. I'd be talking about Jesus. And my dad and my stepmom and my sister and his husband would be just listening. And I'd like think, what? And they were interested. It was the Holy Spirit, you see. It's nothing to do with us, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit. So, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's to do with faith and desire. So, when Watty came back, you're forgiven. When Watty, my punk rock mate, came back transformed through the Holy Spirit, he said to me and Margaret, there's another meeting a month later, did you remember? We went a month later to this crypt with like hundreds of people. I remember seeing grannies with hands in the air, worshipping God and praying. I thought, what is this? About 300 people there. I thought there were about 10 people. I thought, 300 people? Is there 300 people interested in God in England? I didn't know. I went in, and at the end, these people said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, line up, and one of the leaders will come and pray with you, lay hands on you. It's a very biblical thing. Often in the Old New Testament, the apostles laid hands on people. You've seen bishops do that, lay hands on people, confirmation and things, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we got in a queue and waited. Margaret, me and Watty. Watty was going for a second dose, so I was trying to get in front of him to get my first dose. And when we got up to be prayed for, they said, what do you want? And I said, prophecy and everything. And they prayed for me. And do you know what? I never felt a single thing. I never felt anything. And I was disappointed because I expected to feel something. I thought heaven would open or there'd be shining lights or I'd hear a voice or I'd feel something. I could see other people feeling things. People were falling to the floor like they'd been struck with lightning. Bang! People were catching them. Some people were crying their eyes out. People were shaking. I thought, this is going to be awesome. Prayed for me. Hello? Nothing. Which is a very good lesson for you. It's nothing to do with feelings. Nothing. Feelings may be there. Some people weep. Some people are really touched in the heart and weep. Marvellous. If you feel the love of God and it's revealed to you, you will weep. Some people shake like they've put their hands in a socket. God is powerful. Some people fall to the ground. All their own strength leaves them. And they're filled with God's strength. And when they get up, they feel just totally renewed and refreshed. Some people just feel incredible heat. Some people, like me, feel nothing. It doesn't matter. I tell you, I felt nothing. I went home. My life was transformed. Transformed. I think I was like a really dry sponge that was put in that bath. And because I was so dry, it took a while to seep in. But after, you know, I went home feeling disappointed and saying to Margaret and Watty, I knew God didn't love me. I knew God wouldn't bless me. Nothing's happened for me. I knew he loved everyone in the world except me. I knew I was right about that. You know, I went on feeling like that. But you know what? I shouldn't have worried. God is so good. If you want the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. If you ask, you'll receive whether you feel you have or not. Later, the proof is in the pudding and you will be transformed. You will be. I was transformed. I went back to my bedsit. I was living in a bedsit because my dad had threw me out for being a Christian, for seeking God. I wasn't even a Christian fully. And I went back to my bedsit, and in the bedsit, about a week after I'd been prayed for, I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard someone shouting. I woke up. It was me. I was shouting, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was just absolutely full of joy and life and God and yeah, to the point of waking myself up. Scary. Scary for the other lads in the bed set, yeah? But I tell you, you know, feelings will come. They do come. They're important, but they shouldn't lead the field. If you're led by your feelings, like Disney tells you, follow your heart, you'll end up in hell. Don't follow your heart. Follow God, and he'll look after your heart. So, faith is important. Desire is important. Believe, in other words, despite feelings, believe that if you ask for the Holy Spirit in a minute when we pray, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. If you'd like the Holy Spirit, God, you know, won't force himself into anyone. You know, he says, would you like this? Well, ask. It's interesting. Jesus asks us to ask. He says, ask and you'll receive. It's funny, isn't it? I'm asking you to ask because I know if you ask, you'll get. So it's a personal thing. You need to ask and then you'll receive. Only you can open the door to your own heart, the Holy Spirit. Faith is important. Desire is important. Surrender is important. Being willing to let God be God. Just saying, look, here I am. You know, warts and all. The good, the bad and the ugly in me. Here I am as I am. I'm just letting you have my life. And let go. You know, if you can, let go of everything. And every worry, every burden, every person. What will they think? What will she think? What will happen? Do you know what? God's good. You can trust him. Let him be God. Let him have control. Some control of your life. And when you do, you experience the fullness of God and the real power of God. Then things really work well. You know, if I had a glove here today, an empty glove, and I said to that glove, glove, pick up that Bible and open it. It couldn't do it. Why? Because it's empty. And so you, when you cannot do God's will with your life unless you're full of God, you can't do it. You're just empty. You're without the power to do the will of God. You can't do it. But if I put my hand in the, I can want that glove to pick that Bible up. I can will it to pick it up, but the glove can't do it. But if I put myself in the glove, I could do my will through the glove to pick up the Bible. And here's the truth. If I put my hand half in the glove, I can do some things, but clumsily. And that's how many Christians live. Half filled with the Holy Spirit. This is true, this. So they've surrendered to God, but not fully. They're keeping one issue, or one part of their life, or one part of their family, to themselves. They're holding on to control. So they have experienced God, but not the fullness of God. So they wonder why they're still defeated in sin and still can't follow Jesus the way they'd like to. It's because often there's sometimes a small thing that God's asked for that they're not letting go of. And but when you surrender that very thing, and the hand goes into every part of that glove. You know, a close-fitting glove, you can do anything with it. I can do whatever my hand can do. It can do whatever my hand can do. It can accurately do exactly what I'd like it to do. That's a Christian who's really surrendered to God 100%. Filled with the Holy Spirit 100%. They're just available to do what God wants them to do. That's when you get adventure stories like Stuart's. Of who's going to tell him about Jesus. Tell me who gets the biggest buzz and privilege from that. I tell you, there's as much joy from the man who's saved. God and Stuart, they get equal joy. It's such a privilege to be used by God. There's nothing like it. To hear God speak to you is awesome. And to do God's will with your life is awesome. It is the fullness of life. It's what life is about. So I want to encourage you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, nothing that you've done can prevent that. What do we need to do? Practically, this is it. In a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to stand up. Even in standing, it's an act of surrender. Because if you don't want to surrender, I'm going to ask you not to stand. If you're not sure, you're not sure you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, you just stay seated. That's fine. God loves you. We respect you. But if you want this, if you want God, if you want Jesus, then stand and say, I want Jesus. I want God in my life. I want to experience this for real. And open your hands like this as though you're going to receive a gift. And I always think standing like that is exactly how they would have stood in that river with John the Baptist. And they would have surrendered and let John the Baptist take hold of them and plunge them in that water. But today we haven't got John the Baptist. We've got better. We've got Jesus. We aren't going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only person who can baptize in the Holy Spirit. We can lead you and pray for you. But actually, this is right just between you and him. Because only you can surrender and only he can fill. And as you surrender to him, he will put you in the Holy Spirit, whatever you feel. You might feel nothing, that's fine. Nothing to do with feelings. Everything to do with desire and faith. Ask, believe, and you'll receive. And you know what? Your life will just change. And it doesn't even matter. I mean, you might get blasted today and just walk out of here like, wow, I've met God. And that is common. Very common. Well, that happened to all the apostles, obviously, on that day. Or you might walk out like I did, thinking, has anything happened? But don't worry. Because if you ask, you'll receive. And it'll all happen for them. So let me pray for you, and then you can decide. Lord, we just thank you that you're here. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in this room. And that you are the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, each one of us here, we need to decide now whether we're going to surrender to you, whether we're going to be filled with you, and whether we're going to ask for you. And Lord, I just ask you to help everyone make that decision. And even now, Lord, I want to make my own decision again, to be filled with you and to be surrendered to you, to let you have everything you're asking for. Lord, you're just so good. We're hungry for you. We want more of you. We want to be filled with you. If you'd like the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life and to be filled with Jesus, then why don't you stand now where you are? And open your hands like this to the Lord to receive a gift from him. Most wonderful gift he could ever give. You know what, that's all you need to do. The standing, the open hands, that's the prayer. And now just wait for him and he'll come and fill you.